now it's at the point where it's like everyone knows he's a dumb dumb, so I'm not gonna like make fun of him anymore.
Money draft.
The old raptor. The failed raptor. Couldn't get it up. I couldn't get the raptor up.
You were half cocked.
Money draft.
So there's no real doc. Eh? We're just talking about shit.
Money draft.
Yo, we're back. Hopefully you'll hear this before the end of January. It's Money Draft episode 63. It's your boy Slick Jagger. I'm here. My two esteemed co-hosts. Hailing from the city of New York, we have JR, the motherfucking Time Elemental. Say hello to the people, JR.
Hello, friends. Happy New Year. Happy. Happy.
And from the deep, dank, dark Kalamazoo, Michigan, we have Jason E. Motherfucking Alt.
You guys are all a bunch of fucking nerds for listening to this podcast. And if you'd seen a vagina up close, you'd be like, ah, what am I doing with my life? Why am I listening to a Magic the Gathering podcast? I should be out trying to get people to like me and improve my social standing, or maybe like learn men's fashion or something. And that's the shit you should learn from this podcast, but you don't because you're a nerd and all you want to talk about is Magic the Gathering. Oh, also, if you're gay, that like retort about you never seeing a vagina up close doesn't really mean much. So I guess the equivalent for you would be like, you've never seen a cock up close, which is crazy because I would think it would be a little easier to lose your virginity as a gay dude if you have like no standards. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I've never been a gay dude. But I don't know, man.
How close is close, though? Because, like, dudes have their own cocks.
I think so, you can like, just say box.
How close do you...
just say box and that covers
you both. You could just use what Joey Diaz says. Just say you're fucking monkey. You can go both ways.
I think Medina's article title is so funny. A boy in his box. It sounds like...
The story of Buck Angel, a boy in his box.
Yeah, it sounds like some kind of fantasy material.
So not to intentionally date the podcast, which will only punish myself, but we're recording on a rare Monday night money draft, and we kind of slammed this one together. There's a lot of fuckery today with the BNR being moved up a week, and now it happened today, and some surprises. Some people said they weren't surprised. I know my friend Jackie Wang was ecstatic about one of the modern bands. He'd been clamoring it for a while. So, do you guys want to talk about what exactly went down?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it was funny because Jason called back and call at the very beginning of the last episode, and we like intentionally didn't release it for a month until like 2 days after it spiked. So that was cool. But
it was definitely, that was the reason why we didn't release it,
yeah.
By the way, just so you guys know, just to put it out there, it wasn't me.
We can't be giving away free finance tips to you fucking poors. We don't want you getting a bunch of money on Beck and Call and then being like, hey, I'm a millionaire now. Can I be a money draft millionaire? No, you fucking can't. So to avoid that awkward situation, I'm just not going to make you any money on this podcast. That's all there is to it, man. I'm sorry. Go listen to Brainstorm Brewery if you want to be a millionaire from MTG stock tips.
Ask Jason on Twitter why Beck and Call went up. But
oh, dude, I should be nicer to him. Norbs, if you're listening, dude, I'm so sorry. I'm such a dick on Twitter sometimes. It's everybody. It's everybody else. Ask me dumb fucking questions, and then like at the end of the day, you say something dumb, and I just don't have the fucking patience for it anymore. It's not you, man. It's me. I'm really sorry for. I imagine you're like, why did Beck and Call go up? And I'm like, do you fucking live under a rock or just like something like that? That wasn't cool. I'm sorry, Norbs. It won't happen. It'll happen again, but like I'll feel bad next time also.
You just try to steamroll so many people in the Magic community. It's not even funny. But today, so the news really started, I think, on Friday with the spoiler of this Felidar Guardian, which is basically enables a new twin-style combo with Saheeli. So that appears to be intentional. A lot of people were saying it was an accident, which I can't believe that's an accident. I mean, I want it to be an accident, and I want someone to get fired. But I can't believe that
they
would be an
never
accident.
Fire anybody. They would build a little desk fort and they would invite somebody over for a powwow and say, "Man, you know, you guys got to do a better job next time. Okay, how about you have a week vacation, just go somewhere, think about life, come back and keep creating this great game of Magic."
Yeah, I think it's more like you're no longer on the development team; you're on the design team, or you're now.
Here we got you a new job: programming Magic Online.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, writing, like, lore stories on the website or whatever, but...
Don't even shit on that. Like, I would love that job.
Yeah, probably a lot of people would.
I just decided, like, a few weeks ago that would be awesome. Because I see, like, Inkwell Looter was like, "I wrote the flavor text for this card." And I was like, holy shit, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard in my life. I've known people that write flavor text for, like, years. I know all about it. And it's like, yeah, that's cool. But for whatever reason, a couple weeks ago, I was like, why the fuck don't I aspire to do that? That's something, I don't know. Because, you know what? As much as I was able to shit on EDH for a while and turn that into an EDH career, I don't think I shit on Vorthos the same way. I don't think I could shit on Vorthos. Like, I nagged EDH. And until it blew me, I don't think that'll work for Vorthos. So as much as, like, I would be terrible at it. I would be, like, good at writing shit, but I wouldn't be good at keeping track of, like, any of that story. So
to pick up on that theme, actually, like, before we go into the specifics, like, why don't they... I understand it's complicated because you have rotation, but why don't they do top-down development? Not just a design, top-down design, fuck that. Top-down development. In other words, you literally have these three decks, 60 cards, blank cards each. 60 to 75 blank cards each. This deck is rock, this deck is scissors, and this deck is paper. And work backwards. You say, like, these all the most powerful cards in Standard are going to be in these decks, and you work backwards. And you end up with, you know, rock, paper, scissors kind of environments. Without anything being crazy, instead of, like, they say top down, but they do it in terms of the Vorthos shit when they should be doing it in terms of the game mechanics.
People hated rock, paper, scissors, and I never know why, because that's so good. Your deck choice matters all of a sudden, plus you got to beat a bad matchup. You can't just hope to spank your good matchups all day.
Yeah, and it would be very natural. Like, literally, black green would be rock, scissors would be red, and paper would be white, blue. And that's literally your template for any Standard. And you just work backwards. And then maybe you have, like, a combo. You have, like, you know, other decks on the side that, you know. But I don't know, man. So that's why I just can't believe this was an error with the new twin. Because, yeah, it's like it happened with the original twin, supposedly. And I could see it happening the first time, but happening again, especially when the list of danger words with infinite combos, like, I know because I've, like, tried to jam every two-card infinite combo into my cube. Like, there's a finite number of words. Like, yeah, you could do it in a new way, a three-card way, but really you're looking for whenever, copy. So the fact that you had a card that's basically, like, what, the Deceiver Exarch, the 1/4, that just looks like that, and they didn't look in the rest of Standard and say, like, does anything copy at instant speed?
No, there's no way they didn't know. They just didn't think that everybody would go, standard fucking ruin, before the card was even available for anyone to buy.
Yeah, sure.
So they didn't anticipate this level of fucking diaper shitting when the cards aren't even legal yet. That was a mistake they made. Giving us something like this was the mistake they made. I also don't think there's enough hate.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, obviously. But, so, we'll see. We'll see. What's standard?
So what was banned?
The banned cards was like a lot, like everything.
So we literally haven't stated it. We said we were going to probably like 10 minutes ago. So
okay, I'll read this and then I don't want to talk for a while. So I think that's a good compromise.
All right, go for it.
Okay, so, what was banned was, let's start with standard. Emrakul, the Promise End, is a banned. Looter Scooter, otherwise known as Smuggler's Copter, is banned. Reflector Mage is banned. That was a little bit of a surprise to people, I think. Okay, let's move on to Modern. In Modern, Gitaxian Probe is banned, and Golgari Grave Troll, which enjoyed the shortest unbanned period ever, is rebanned. Legacy is untouched. Vintage is untouched. Block is untouched.
So, how long was... Because Git Probe used to be banned too, right?
No.
I don't think so. It just makes you have a 56-card deck.
Yeah, because that was the one that Jack... Like, Jack in our Magic group thread had just been, like... He'd just been praying that, like... He wanted all the Phyrexian mana cards to get banned. Which I think shares the sentiment of some of the pros as well. But yeah, I mean, the Gitaxian Probe, I could see. I mean, it just... It is what it is. Go ahead.
I think that they're clearly just trying to nerf some of the better decks. Like, that's what this tells me. Like, they could have gone for, like, Price Amalgam, too, with Dredge. But maybe just because the card is newer, they spared it. But... Also, it's maybe more powerful in terms of the early game. So I think these bans, like they would have hit Become Immense if they really wanted to like cut down these decks. But I don't think they do. I think part of the problem with Modern is that you don't have the defined metagame. So I think ultimately they want like to have a somewhat small set of you know top tier decks. So I don't think they want to just like blow out every top tier deck. And I was thinking they would bring Jace back too, but we'll see. I think that's coming.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think both the modern bans are fine. Like, I don't think any deck is dead because of the bans. I don't even think Dredge. I mean, Dredge does things without Grave Troll. It's fine. Like, it'll probably be a turn or two slower on average, maybe like 1.5 turns. But
totally blown out by like Anger of the Gods or whatever. But
yeah, I mean, but it's still, I mean, it definitely makes it more vulnerable, but it doesn't axe the deck. And the Git Probe is, you know, while I personally love the card, and it's one of my favorite cards to take in cube draft when I play mono red, like you said, I mean, it's just, you know, it's essentially however many copies you're allowed to play, you pretty much eliminate that many cards from your deck. And it gives you more consistency, and the peek at the opponent's hand is really helpful for all in decks.
It dings all of the aggressive decks that people are complaining about. The two main ones.
Yeah.
But the
standard ones, though, I mean, I don't think it's any surprise to our listeners that I'm personally completely out of touch with standard. I don't think. I don't know if this is the best standard cast, so I don't want to stay. I don't want to personally hit too much on it, but I think it's very telling that they're willing to ban these cards. So like it's not like it was Stoneforge and Jace. Like, you know, they weren't. I mean, to my knowledge, I wasn't hearing people clamoring about the cards really ruining. Especially the Reflector Mage, like banning that after Coco left, like what? Like there's no way it could be as oppressive as it was when Coco was around. I just
people were saying that does something with the new card, but yeah,
yeah.
I think it's clear.
It definitely fits right in the new Splinter Twin Jeskai deck or whatever. So
I think it's clear that they're responding, like call it Frontier, but I think the whole Frontier phenomena is part of this vacuum that has happened because Standard is foundering and Modern also is to some extent. And it's just the writing's on the wall. Like, I think the fact that they didn't push harder Modern changes this quarter is because they don't really want to. Like, they want to show they care, but not actually do anything yet. They need to get their Standard house in order and get some excitement back for Standard because they're losing it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, the biggest piece of news out of the banned restricted announcement today is actually none of the banned cards. I think it's the fact that they're doing the new schedule, the fact that they're doing a second ban wave or a second window for a ban wave. Five weeks after the Pro Tour? Is that what they said?
Yep.
So that's just, I think they're going to, I mean, and my impression, I saw a couple of people on Twitter kind of echo this, but my impression on that is I think this is going to set a precedence for a heavier hammer for sure.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is their response to Frontier, essentially, is that.
Well, that and Standard attendance is down. So I think they want to make sure the format never feels stale.
Is attendance that's a good question. Like, I feel like
that's what I keep seeing cited. That
sentiment is like really bad. I don't know how it looks compared to like pre-Stoneforge ban or whatever, like in terms of the drop off. But yeah, it's clearly, I think they're going to manage it more like, and I think it's a good idea. I think the whole no ban, not admitting you made a mistake or whatever, even if it's not even a mistake necessarily, you're just mixing stuff up, and it's easier to do it that way than to have like an automatic sort of schedule. It has downside, obviously. Like, now it's annoying to me. Like, now every twice as often, I'm going to be like sitting at work, wasting time looking, at the refresh on the ban list. But yeah. I think that's clearly, it's probably a good move. I mean, obviously, like, if you get burned a couple of times by them banning your Standard deck, it's not going to be.
It's going to have a negative effect.
Yeah, I don't envy all.
So Standard feeling fucking miserable to play because they don't want Standard to be oppressive and miserable because that's how people start playing Magic. So they need Standard to be like a decent enough format that people will play it and then want to do more shit. Because almost everybody starts in Standard.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what would be interesting? Maybe I will. Maybe we could get an LGS owner on here sometime soon to kind of talk about the attendance thing, because I think that would be good to get some firsthand rhetoric on. But we'll see. I mean, I think that as far as like these speculation or the reaction kind of coming on the heels of all this Frontier news, and then one of the things that I wanted to touch on is that I think this year CFB is going to start running Frontier side events at G, which I know Channel Fireball does. They do like they have had old school Magic side events and tons of formats that you can't actually sanction, whether or not they're how big the audience is, but. As much as we've kind of poked some jabs at it, it does seem to be catching on. I mean, it's not a. I think it's gone past the tiny leaders level of play to the point where it does have Wizards thinking. Well, I think that it's. But hear me. So I don't know enough about it. Is Frontier is non-rotating, right? Or is it rotating?
I think it's non-rotating. I don't know.
It's non-rotating.
So
they're just going to start it at the foil dots, right? At Origins or whatever?
They might eventually shift that. when they have enough sets and they want to kick fetches out or whatever, but yeah, it's non-rotating.
Well, that's the thing. So what I got, like, I don't understand. I don't know. I mean, any non-rotating format is going to die.
Yeah. I mean, if you listen to Tony, like, our friend, Awesome Every Day.
I think
awesome
he officially switched over to Awesome Sauce.
One of the big proponents of he says, like, oh, this could just be a temporary thing, and he admits this is, like, really kind of due to the failure of WotC to, you know, have a fun standard environment, or at least a standard environment that's perceived as fun. And the same thing with Modern, in terms of both how fun Modern is in terms of the diversity of decks and the accessibility. So
that's,
you know, Tony says it could be a temporary thing, and if WotC, like, they could fix Modern. They just have to reprint a bit more and make, you know, 5 card changes, and it would be a significantly different format.
And Tony is an extremely rational, level-headed person. So the thing that kind of, it's like, well, if, because this their store Face to Face in Toronto, they cut their Modern events for Frontier events. So it's not like they cut Standard for Frontier. They cut their weekly Modern for weekly Frontier. So is it more of a reaction to Modern? Is it more of a reaction to Standard? Or is it just a reaction to WotC not really being able to deliver what the consumer wants?
I don't know. I think it's like the complainiest portion of the population finally saying, you know what, we'll do it ourselves. And the problem with that is they're never going to be fucking satisfied, even with Frontier. They're going to meddle with it way too much, and they don't know what the fuck they're doing. They're like, you know, they're like, oh, I'm, you know, Japanese or Canadian dude. I've been playing Magic for 10 years, so I know better than WotC. They're going to fuck with the format way too much, and they're going to break it, and Wizards will be like, can we take over this now? It's 3 years before the format's necessary. And
that's what they're saying. They're saying it is necessary now because people are playing it. They're showing up.
But it's not necessary. Modern's just fine.
I mean, I agree with you in the sense that they can fix Modern.
Yeah.
Another good Modern Masters and 5 card changes. Yeah, I mean, you know. Like, and it's a totally different format.
And as soon as if Frontier does get picked up, guess what? Your fucking cards are going to be expensive. And you're just going to bitch. The same reason you don't play Modern and you play Frontiers because the cards are cheap. Well, guess the fuck what? Your cards aren't going to be cheap. So, I don't know what the fuck you expect.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, they're going to... It's still going to be cheaper. But I think originally it was an alternative for Modern. Maybe because Modern was too expensive, but yeah, I think it's more recently becomes, when people have started complaining more and more about Standard in the past 2 or 3 months, it's kind of taken on some of that too, and I think that, you know, goes into the BNR today. I think it's kind of reflected on both sides. It's like, they know Modern's not perfect, they want to show that they care, but not really do anything, and in Standard, they're just like, bringing out the... You know, the paddles, you know, attack paddles.
So I just saw something on Twitter that I got to bring up. So Epic Card Game from the makers of Star Realms, which I know, Jason, you've played probably more than any human that I know, just tweeted.
That's not true because I didn't get invited to the... I wasn't ranked high enough in Star Realms. To get invited to the Epic Championship. I'm not quite the best Star Realms player in the world.
More than anybody I know.
Yeah, that's probably true. And I also played like way before the official app was out. I played so many beta games when there were like 10 people. So I played like thousands of games against just Darwin. So that's how I got good, by getting my ass kicked by him.
So Epic Card Game, the official account, just tweeted, send Epic Card Game your Emrakul or copters, and we'll send you Epic Card Game. They're literally, if you send them Emrakuls or copters, they'll send you the copies of their, I guess, starter packs or whatever.
That's amazing.
That's some fucking marketing right there. That's
Jeez, it is so awkward how easy it is to just nerf stuff in digital games and not even have these problems at all. Wow. But
I just thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, but I mean, once it gets nerfed, there's less of a money investment in League or Dota, but there's a time investment. So all the time I put into learning a champ and then it gets nerfed, that feels real fucking bad. And you don't want to, just like, why do I want to learn a new champ now? So as much as you're not out money, unless you bought like a custom skin that you're not going to want to use anymore, I don't know, man. So there's still a feel bad, and there's still an investment that feels
well,
lost.
Even a more direct comparison, being Hearthstone, like over the last 2 days, there's been a lot of controversy in the Hearthstone community because the lead dev said that they are going to consider nerfing and or removing some of the classic cards out of the standard format. When standard was created, they said that, oh, the classic or base set is always going to be there, and then we'll have like the latest year of sets that go with it. And I think it's funny that that happened literally within the same 3-day period as this kind of hasty BNR. But to JR's point, when they nerf something in Hearthstone, they literally change the fucking card, and it's updated globally. It's in your collection. But as far as the nerfs that they've done in Hearthstone, I would say 80% of them, the card goes from in your collection to completely unplayable. Now, in Hearthstone's credit, because there's no secondary market, they give you dust, which is the equivalent of what you need to create a card. They give you a full dust. After they nerf a card, you can pretty much dust it and get the value to create any card of the same rarity. So it's less of a feel bad. And if you're a Magic player, that's great. If you're just a Hearthstone player, you get on Reddit and you fucking complain about it. But I think it's a fair way to go about it and still have the metagame. But I think it's very interesting that these two kind of things have happened in very quick succession. That's my two cents there. I'll stop talking about Hearthstone now.
They're definitely feeling the pressure, though. I think it's definitely has to be part of the whole, God knows, like, if it weren't for Hearthstone, maybe Magic would still be growing at 10%, 15% a year.
I
don't know, man. Hearthstone, they're finally, everything that people bitched about with Magic, they're learning that, like, well, fuck, there's a reason they do that.
Is there growth leveling off? Like, what's Hearthstone growth? Is it still, like, 50%? Or, I mean, that's even low for what it had to be, you know?
No, like, Hearthstone growth, I think, is definitely leveling off. But I think the thing that people don't understand, like, just pure Hearthstone players don't understand, is that it's just so much of a more low barrier to entry. Like, people who play Hearthstone usually come from games like traditional computer games where you have an investment, or it's like League or Dota or Heroes of the Storm or WoW, or, you know, you're not paying hundreds of dollars. You're not even paying thousands of dollars. Talking to a Magic player and they're just like, oh man, I don't even know. I don't want to tell you, you know, but it's nothing anywhere. And Marcel says it all the time. He's like, you know, I could literally spend like $60 on a game on Steam and get like X amount of hours out of it, or get like a playset of a card, and I don't know if it's going to be made irrelevant, you know, within the next month. So it's a different mindset when it comes to the financial outlay to play a game. And I think even as it stands today, Hearthstone is totally nowhere near, in order to get competitive, is nowhere near the financial outlay of Magic. So it's just more accessible, you know? And I think that's going to be something very important going forward until Magic gets their digital shit together, which, long poll, late 2018 for Magic Next. So we'll see.
So what happens first? Magic makes a digital product people want to use, or that fucking Magic movie comes out?
I don't know.
I think there'll be a revival of heavy meta before either of those happen.
Right, Maddie's on a new cast.
Yeah.
You know, I think Kevy has completely removed himself from the Magic scene. I don't know about Gumby or TSG, kind of what their next moves are, but keep playing, keep in their local scenes.
What's Maddie's new cast? Is it Frontier?
Yeah, of course.
It's halfway between heavy meta and Frontier. No, it's Kitchen Table, I think is the name of it. I think they have their own website.
It's not with, Kitchen Table. It does
with our friend Tony.
I thought it was just him and Tony, and the cast is called like the Frontier cast.
No, that's another cast with Tony, with Matt Mueling.
Yeah.
Another Toronto guy. But right. Yeah, I think the Hearthstone, that's a dead horse at this point. Do we want to talk about the new cards at all?
Yes!
So, the first one I put on here for you, Jason, the Scrap Trawler.
Oh!
The guy that, it's an artifact. When an artifact goes to your graveyard, you can return any other artifact with a lesser converted cost to play. Is it play, right?
Ooh, to play.
So, tell me, like, you said infinite combo with this. That sounds like a three card combo or something. Because how do you overcome the lesser mana restriction?
Okay, so there are a lot of ways you could set up combos with this. You're probably going to use something like what's that card? Efficient Construction or something like that. Just you're going to need some triggers going on. But basically, Scrap Trawler is just going to, like, when you sack a Perilous Mirror or something like that, you get a one-drop artifact back, and then you use that to play, get a token from Efficient Construction, sack above the KCI, rebuy something. Like, Scrap Trawler, it's just the fact that you don't have to sack it like you did Junk Diver means that... It means it's just going to be... So you're like going to get so much value out of it. Yeah, like, exactly.
It's increment. It's not actually infinite. That was the part I was...
No, they're with other cards, absolutely.
Okay, but it's like a multiple card. It's just like your deck kind of going off.
Yeah, basically, your deck going off. It's not like... It's not this and another card gives you an infinite combo, necessarily.
Yeah, because when I first saw the card, I thought that... But then the lesser thing kind of, like, cuts you off. So,
you can still end up getting mana to cast something big, and then sack that.
Yeah.
So if you're using like KCI or Ashnod's Altar, you're still gonna get a bunch of mana. Like you play like a three drop and get the value from that, sack that for mana, then you get back a two drop, play that for free, with your KCI mana or whatever, sack that, get a one drop, and then you sack a whole bunch of Doppler tokens or something like that and just play a bigger creature.
Yeah. I'm all about the eggs. I mean, I'll just talk like skip to Pia's Revolution now, where I am in terms of just playing. I have my own Storm Cube that I'm developing. I have my own formats that I play with myself. Like, this set has a lot for eggs in a Storm Cube. Because that's the thing, like, I don't know how viable it is, but it's going to be easy to draft Storm in the Storm Cube, but eggs is the like, there are, like, everything actually in my Storm Cube. You have High Tide and Cross Bloom. But Pia's Revolution is cool. The one where it's a three-drop enchantment. If an artifact goes to your graveyard, unless your opponents take three, it goes back to your hand. So yeah. I almost feel like I looked at the eggs deck that won the Pro Tour, and I was like, if you just replace Second Sunrise with this, it's not the same at all.
I think it kind of sucks because you don't want your combo piece to be a fucking browbeat. Like if they're a, I mean, it's even worse in EDH.
It's definitely worse, but it's interesting enough. I mean,
by the time they have to let you go off, they're fucked anyway. You gotta be winning when you go off with this card. I think it's for, like, it's not going to be a Storm or Eggs card as much as it is just, like, you just jam it in Duretti and just, yeah, just like, all right, do you want me to do stupid shit with all of my cards and I can get it back with Goblin Welder anyway? Do you really want to take the damage?
Yeah, so, the thing is, it's not legendary. So, like, if you get two, that starts to get to be a different story.
Oh yeah, there's no. Yeah, they can't. So, they can't stop you for long.
That and the implement of combustion. That's like another pirate spell bomb. It's just like a perfect card.
I like all the implements, really.
Yeah.
Just in terms of design, I think they're.
Again, even scrap trawlers, just like all like eggs kind of stuff. Some of the like Tezzeret's, like the reverse engineer Tezzeret's touch, like there's just like a lot of stuff that maybe you could go into an eggs kind of deck. In terms of the more, were you?
I didn't see Crackdown Construct on your list.
Which one was that?
It's the 4-drop 2/2. When you activate the ability of an artifact or creature that isn't a mana ability, it gets +1/+1 till the end of turn.
Oh, sure, sure. So like the combo guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can just activate your Wandering Fumeral and switch its power and toughness back and forth infinite times.
Yeah.
There are a lot of easy ways to like just keep moving Lightning Greaves back and forth between two different creatures. You can do all kind of shit with this. It's so easy to go infinite. This set, I don't know what the fuck they were thinking with some of these cards.
I feel like it might be the case that the winter set is more powerful. It seems like 2 years in a row now, the winter set has been more powerful.
So Wandering Fumeral, people were talking about just because people need to cast Saheeli Rai now to get that twin combo. And I'm like, you want Fumeral anyway because it goes infinite with a 4-drop. It's pretty nuts. So yeah, if you haven't got Wandering Fumerals by the time this cast was recorded, when you're hearing it, when the cast actually comes out, you're like, well, that would have been great fucking advice 3 weeks ago, Jason. Yeah, well, I said it on Twitter, so fuck you if you don't.
Yeah, I don't know. On Twitter. They're going to go from like 5 to 7 or something.
I don't know, man. Because it's two different sources. You know, two different reasons to buy that card.
It's also
it's
in the other deck, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not a great card. It's not as a man land, it's not great, but they're just, you know, two reasons for the card to have, like, stabilized at the price it was when it was basically doing nothing to all of a sudden it's super useful for two different reasons.
They'll play both combos, maybe, I don't know.
Why the fuck wouldn't you?
Yeah. But yeah, there's a method to my madness. Like, there's weird stuff on the list, like Green Rail Liberator is on the list just because it's an elf. And it's a pretty beat down elf. What is it, like a? It's up to a 4? I don't have it up right now, but it's basically just a beat down.
You have it up right
now.
It's
one of the revolt ones. I have the name up. I don't have the card text up.
It's a 2/1, and its revolt is it can come in with 2/1/1 counters, so it can end up a 4/3 for 2, yeah. Which is pretty saucy.
As elves go, it's pretty beat down. In general, revolt is cool, but I mean, you basically only do it once a turn, so it's not. It doesn't have a possibility of having an infinite combo or anything. So the expertise spells are the ones that most people are excited about.
Oh, those are so saucy. The first one they spoiled, I think, is the worst, actually.
Yeah, I mean,
those are the ones that give you free shit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love WotC, man. Like, well, right, like, we're going to ban free shit because free shit's too powerful, but we're going to print free shit because, damn, we need to sell cards.
Just not going to happen this time.
I don't know how good they are for standard, but the green one, the blue one, and the red one are stupid in EDH. The white and black one, I don't think they're that great.
Yeah, the green one for EDH seems like the only place it would be really awesome.
Oh, God, I can't wait to cascade into that with Maelstrom Wanderer. Jesus.
The red one seems pretty good. I don't think I'm going to... The only one I'm going to add to my cube is going to be the white one, just because I'm trying to support tokens, which is sort of...
White one's really, really pretty strong in, like, a token-y build.
I also have that call on my cube. And it's the only card so far that I'm adding from this set, to be honest.
You can get like a free anthem
to my main
with Saram's expertise, and that's pretty good in cube.
I mean, I guess I should maybe add Metallic Mimic. I don't know, but in general, I only added 20 cards to my main cube this year. Out of it's like a 670 card cube, so I'm not like some people where it's like every set is like 10 cards. It has to do something, but and most of them were in Mardu colors. almost all of them were like just like red guys, red damage, white guys, you know.
We all know how you agonized over, what was it, Power Conduit?
Yeah, that was...
In your cube.
That was like, that was version 1.1. We're on to 1.6. That was, yeah. That was garbage, man.
That was
complete garbage. But the point was, that was a deck that I had played with my friends, you know, years ago. So I wanted to like have my cube have all of that. But you, like all the old border foils are going. I'm down to like 21% old border foil before I was like 30%. So seem to have good cards. So the expertise, the red expertise, yeah.
The black one is the first one that, and everyone got real excited about. They're like, oh, it's like a languish. And then I'm just looking at this, and you know what I mean? Because I don't feel like it kills enough in standard. You never want that in modern, because it's not going to kill anything fast enough. And in EDH, like, you don't want to be paying damnation mana for a languish.
Yeah. The other Saram, the senior edificer, people are talking about that for pebbles. It's like a new... pure steel paladin, but whatever. That deck sucks.
Yeah, but I mean, it's more consistent now.
Yeah, but
the thing is, you can't. The only issue is before you could with the pure steel paladin, you can move the shit around for cheaper, so you could actually net mana with the plume, and you can't do that anymore with Saram. So you still need to draw your knight eventually.
Yeah, the only reason I'm shitting on it is because my Elf Storm... I think my Elf Storm deck is better than the Pebbles deck, but I don't know. You were talking about Godslayer won something with that, with a deck that had that same Cloudstone Curio combo, right?
I don't think it was Godsend, but yeah.
Godslayer, the guy, yeah. Godslayer, your friend.
Oh, Aaron, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played a deck, an Elf deck.
Anyway, Cloudstone Curio, like, I love that card, but moving on.
Yeah, Curio's fine. I like it. Yeah, and I kind of wish they would, I don't know. It went up when Beck Call was first spoiled because of SCG, and like there was never really any pressure on the price to go down, so it kind of didn't, which is unfortunate. I don't know.
Yeah, the Elf decks in
nice,
Modern don't really
nice masterpiece. Yeah, I still think Intruder Alarm's better. You can go off with more cards with Intruder Alarm. You get that big clunky like three different creature combo with Cloudstone Curio. But like with Intruder Alarm, you can go off with Sprout Swarm and Imperious Perfect. And you're just going to dump your whole hand also. If you have Mana Elves, you can dump your whole hand. Intruder Alarm's just so good in that deck.
Yeah.
But SCG bought Curio, so that's the card that went up instead of Intruder. Well, Intruder Alarm's... I mean, if you bought them back when I said to, and they were like 75 cents, now they're like $4. Bucks, so
if you went, it's like if you go out and buy eighth edition foil Tutor Alarms, it's probably fine. It's probably only like two of those on TCG right now.
Yeah, well, it's a little late for that anyway.
What is it now? Like, is it up to 20?
I mean, yeah. we're talking the time to buy Intruder Alarm was when like Dragon's Maze came out.
Sure.
So I don't know. I'm reminiscing. About...
It's not a good, yeah. It's not a good call per se, but it's probably going to go up more. Baral Chief of Compliance is kind of like Saram. Like that's the one for what is it? Instants and Sorceries. But there are a lot. It's like when I was putting together my Storm Cube, there's so many of these effects right now. I don't know.
No, he's really saucy. Like he's gonna make Magic kind of miserable. I think. Like, it's weird the power level. Like, Sram's super push, Baral's super good, and then Yeheni and Kary Zev are pretty dirtily, and Rishkar, I can't really see how I want to abuse that. So it's really just kind of silly how different the power levels are on that whole cycle.
Yep. The,
How is a monkey 2-1, by the way? They say, like, an average, like, human male is 1-1. So this is a monkey that can fucking fight two guys and kill them both.
Yeah,
I don't know, dude.
Have you ever seen? Those
I don't know about
that.
That
like, technique. Rob people in the street.
Yeah, well, this isn't like rob them. It's like fight a guy to the death and prevail.
I'm pretty sure it's got goggles on too. Like,
Sometimes humans are 0-1, sometimes they're 3-2.
Yeah, well, that's a human with training and equipment and shit.
This monkey has a lot of shit going on. I don't know.
He's got goggles, dude.
Like, yeah, the monkey could give me a disease. Like, I don't want a monkey to bite me.
Maybe it's slightly magical, too. Maybe
okay,
it
it's yeah, clearly it's got to be magical. I don't know another way to...
Yeah.
It's a good thing they made her a 1-3, otherwise, like, she would die in a fight to the death with her pet monkey. I don't know, man. And if you don't think that could happen, her expertise is literally taking control of a creature. So, yeah, mind control is a real thing in this universe, and the monkey should be infinitely equated with it. So, the monkey knows, man. She could turn on him at any second.
I'm going with the goggle technique, man.
You don't want monkeys around. They're fine for like 20 years straight, and one day they just rip your face off.
That's chimps. This is a little capuchin monkey. It's like a little.
You think that's better? You think that's better?
Yeah, yeah, dude, I do. I used to work with monkeys. I won't work with fucking chimps.
They're more aggressive. They're just smaller, so they can't do the damage, but they're going to attack you like once a year, as opposed to like they're probably going to attack you like once a quarter, as opposed to once every 20 years.
Yeah, but attack. What does attack even mean?
Hurt
they
you.
Can't.
I think they could, like, if you were just sort of sitting there, like, podcasting, and a monkey was like, I'm gonna fuck him up in the face, I think he would fuck you up in the face.
Yeah. Okay, well, he could fuck my face up, but he's not gonna kill me. Like, I'll kill him. But a chimp? Good luck, man.
Yeah.
I would, like, if you told me I could take, if I could have armor and a sword against just a regular, like, kind of chilled out, not even that aggressive chimp. And then they made us fight, dude. I don't know. I don't like those odds.
Is the monkey wearing a fez? No,
no.
Right?
Look on the token.
Dude. It's just got a goggles, dude. It's just got goggles.
He has a name. It's Raghavan.
That'd be funny if you're wearing a fez.
His name is Raghavan, guys.
They're so creative. They're so creative.
I'm trying to get a job on the Vorthos team, so we should learn these names. We should learn how to pronounce Kari Zev and, like, argue with people on Twitter. Is it Kari Zev or Kari Zev? This shit matters. Meanwhile, Standard's on fucking fire. And everyone's arguing about how to pronounce Garuk or Garrick. I love that there's some people that are just so agnostic to what's shitty about Magic because all they care about is the fucking cartoon doodles. And, like, that's got to be so much fun because the Vorthos is never not good. It's always just, like... blowjobs for Vorthos lovers all the time. The fucking art is good because they're hiring really talented artists. The story is actually pretty interesting if you ever pay attention to it. Yeah. Like, all the Vorthos shit is just perfect.
The art is really good. I feel sorry that some of it was sort of, like, not appreciated in Kaladesh just because some of it was, like, oh, people, it's, like, stupid cars and steampunk, and part of it was, like, worse, the India stuff, which really was a thing in retrospect, like, that. I didn't think too much of it the first when people started complaining about it, but it was like, yeah, there's like, I feel like it was billed as an India theme block, but maybe that was just in your head. They never said that. So, I don't know. Three more cards here to get through, unless people want to talk about other ones, but Indomitable Creativity. That's like a JR polymorph, shape a new card, but whatever. It's the one. It's like triple red, destroy an artifact or creature, and then you either like polymorph it or, well, you reveal cards from the top of your deck until you reveal either an artifact or a creature card. So you can build a polymorph deck without artifacts, but it's hard to build a shape a new deck without creatures because the Thraben Inspector is like your best artifact generator, but whatever. You bring the light, so if you want a fifth of either of them, bring the light is better.
Or you could just be a fucking lunatic, man. I don't, you know, if you're casting Warp World, you just want some crazy shit to happen.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm saying, like, from my perspective about me, it's just the first time I saw the card, I didn't really read it. I just, like, read the first line and was like, destroy. So I was like, oh, next. And then, like, the second time I read it, I was like, whoa, it's like a polymorph. Damn.
Damn.
Metallic Mimic. It's pretty cool. The Lord, the new Lord, Merfolk spirits. I want to see it in that new spirits deck in Modern. I think it'll be good there. And then last one I have is Metallic Rebuke. Pretty sweet in Affinity. Maybe Volcanic Fallout at some point will be a thing, even though it's had like 5 reprintings, but the split second Pyroclasm. I don't know. But yeah, Affinity, like, that's gonna be annoying. That's like such a great tempo spell for them. So it's a counter spell. Your artifacts can help you cast this kind of thing. So those are the only cards I cared about tonight.
I care about some other stuff. It's a pretty good set, man.
That's a pretty good set. Golgari counter guy.
Oh yeah, that card's saucy. Secret Salvage seems really good if you have a bunch of Shadowborn Apostles or Relentless Rats. Disallow is fucking saucy. I love a blue Void Slime. Consulate Crackdown is totally one-sided. I love that shit. Oh man, there's just so much cool shit in this set. A lot of blinky stuff too. White has got so much shit that I want to blink. You got a thing that gains you 5 life. You got that guy that gets the permanent back. The green dude. Malphish Revolutionary. Oh, that the Malphish gives you counters. The green-white one gets a permanent back. Yeah, there's just all kind of cool shit. There's a lot of good artifacts. I like Spire of Industry because it's a City of Brass that can tap for colorless. That's amazing. You need that because all kind of decks got shit like... Yeah, it's
a good card.
Yeah, you need true colorless mana, and this actually taps for it. I think that's cool. They seem... I don't know. They did a pretty decent job of making Revolt worth it. And there's a lot of infrastructure in EDH and casual formats to make you be able to trigger Revolt. So I like that. Paradox Engine is pretty fucking... It reminded a lot of people of Prophet of Krufix, but more fair and less fair at the same time, because it takes more work to do stuff, but it has a higher ceiling for shenanigans. So Paradox Engine just can go completely infinite and just like ruin everything, which is amazing. Like anything... I'm just going to be playing it in... my Kaidel and Thrasos deck, and just using Kaidel to and like a source of blue mana from an artifact to just capsize all of their permanents, which should be hilarious. And I don't know, kill them with Crackdown Construct or something. I don't know. I think if you bounce everyone's permanents and they don't concede, then enjoy attacking them, I guess. So I think there's some mistakes in this set, certainly, with the power level. I don't think anything's bannable, though. I think, from an EDH perspective, this is a really good set, and it's just too bad that it's not going to help all the things that are shitty about Standard, and plus they gave us Felidar Guardian, which kind of says, oh, look, we made Splinter Twin. Enjoy that, you fuckfaces. I got some nitpicks, but like, who cares about nitpicks? Like, I think War of Invention shouldn't be triple blue, because it's not Court of Calling. You can't tap a blue artifact creature to pay for the blue mana, so I think it's not correctly. But I mean,
you talked about that on another podcast already.
That pales in comparison to how fucking big an erection Mechanized Production gives me. So why nitpick when we're just getting so many blowjobs? The set's amazing.
I just want to open the gifted Aetherborn in Limited all the time. The new Vampire Nighthawk without flying. It's another but
Vampire Nightwalk.
Yeah,
I've heard it called. Yeah, I don't. It's not even half as good. I really like it, but it's not even half as good as Nighthawk. Nighthawk was just brutal.
I wonder what Wesco thinks of the white 3 drop that has Revolt. That guy seems pretty good for Standard.
Would you like me to ask him when he's a guest on Brainstorm Brewery later
tonight?
I'm
sure it'll come up, yeah. That guy's like, that's a question though. Like, will that guy make the cut in Standard? I think so.
Which guy?
It's the white 3 drop. I think he has Revolt, but he can get a counter every turn.
The double striker?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it gets a 1-1 counter for revolt. Yeah, it's a 3-mana 2-2 double strike. And it's a dwarf. I don't know if that helped. There's nothing really helping dwarves out as a race.
The red-white one, but yeah. I feel like that's just, that rate for standard seems like it's good enough almost, but... All right, no limited card slick to call your eye Safari, I guess.
No, I mean, I don't fucking know.
Fuck
man.
You.
I don't fucking know, dude. I don't know.
I thought you would be fully erect for Fatal Push, so that tells me you're not even fucking paying attention.
No, I mean, Fatal Push is just a multi-format monster. Like, there's not really a lot to add there. It's.
What do you think of Hungry Flames?
Which one is Hungry Flames?
2 colors and a red, 3 damage to a creature and 2 damage to a player.
So was it uncommon?
I mean, for the limited, like, I wouldn't, it's not a cube card, but it would definitely be a high pick in the limited format for sure. It's uncommon, yeah.
Alright.
I'm just trying to do the, I'm just going to try to get the Dreadnought combo in limited.
Oh, Consulate Dreadnought and Siege Modification?
Yeah, like, why wouldn't we just try to do that? Like, if you're going to get drunk and go to a draft, man, that's what you should just keep your eye on. Like, you got Money Draft Luck, they'll both come your way, man. They're both uncommon.
Was that a 10-11 first strike?
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
Yep. The rhetoric.
It's going to happen in some sealed.
It's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you know
yeah.
what? You know, it's funny how stupid the fucking art on Spire Patrol looks. Because they told Dan Scott exactly what they wanted him to draw, and he's like, all right, and he drew it, and it just looks so fucking stupid. It's this, like, chick on, like, with a quadcopter on her back and this big, stupid net gun looking thing. And he's sort of like, here's this exactly what you asked for. And they were like, oh, perfect. And I'm just looking at this, like, this is indicative of the art director just being a fucking cartoon. But, I mean, it's a cartoon set with cars driving around and shit, so.
Listen, lots of people need to be fired. JR were running things. Quote unquote morale would go down at first, but be bullshit morale. It'd be like the fort building at Halloween morale.
Is there one more card in red than in every other color? I think there is.
Yes. Yes, there is.
That's
weird. There is one more red card than every other color.
Plus, red got more than its share. Red got more than its share gold cards because it's got a red blue, a red white, a red green, a red black card. Plus, it's got dark intimations.
Yep, which is like why they put dark intimations in the set?
So it'll be better later.
Yeah, but why?
There's definitely to spoil that there's going to be a Nicol Bolas Planeswalker in the next set.
Oh, wow. Like, anybody needed a spoiler. Like, why? Like, I don't get it. Like, that just seems dumb. Like,
it's a good card that it doesn't need that second half,
now,
really, to be just a blowout of a card.
On the card, it says Story Spotlight 5 of 5. So what are the other Story Spotlight cards? Is that, like... I've never noticed that until right now.
I gotta look through all the other cards now.
I know. What a blowout.
I bet Chandra's Revolution or whatever is one of them. Fuck.
That's
now we gotta
weird.
Look through like a bunch of
battle. Nerds. Battle at the Bridge is Story Spotlight 4 of 5.
Okay.
So are these like just cards that are especially tied to the story? Like, when did they start doing that shit?
I've never seen that before. I didn't...
Look at that. I'm hawking shit.
A battle.
Consulate Crackdown. Like, Consulate Crackdown is Story Spotlight 1 of 5. Disallow is Disallow? Disallow?
Yeah.
What the fuck? And then P is Revolution.
Oh, I knew it. P is Revolution. Yeah.
So it's
this is...
What are you going to say, JR?
I'm worried that, like, the top-down, the Vorto stuff ends up driving too much. It'd be like, it's not that hard to just design standard. I don't know. I think that the rolling thing is the biggest problem, you know what I mean? But if you just had, like, if you knew, like, it wasn't going to, like, roll over, I think it would be easy. I don't know.
So essentially what we're seeing is the consulate tells motherfuckers they gotta chill out. Pia is not chilling at all. Then Baral is like, Pia, you definitely gotta chill the fuck out. And then Tezzeret...
Pia's like, yeah, well, my daughter is a fucking planeswalker. We're gonna fuck shit up.
And then Tezzeret starts fighting motherfuckers on a bridge. And then Bolas? Like, why did the Bolas thing have to come in? It doesn't make any sense. Like, why wouldn't it be part of the story? Like, and they all have a link that says mtgstory.com on the card.
Well, clearly we should have read that shit, like, a bunch of... Because there's so many fucking nerds right now, they're like, I can't believe you don't know this. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think our listeners will probably be in the same boat as I am right now. I'm just looking at Mythic Spoiler like, what the fuck is that text down there?
But our listeners are nerds. Admit it, listeners. You're fucking nerds.
Is that a real picture? I don't know.
What a real picture.
On Mythic, is it like a generated picture or is it an actual picture of the card?
Yeah, it's the actual picture. No, the Mythic Spoiler added story spotlight, like below the... No, man, it's got to be on there.
Sometimes they're like translated stuff, but yeah.
Well, it's not in the rules text.
They shouldn't... See, this... I don't want to be negative and like talk about people... like needing to get fired, but I don't know.
You mean some more?
But what I don't understand, like, I don't know. I don't know why they would put a card that so clearly has to do with the next set. Like, there's no... I don't know.
I think that... I actually don't hate that.
They always do, like, one of those. So, that's fine.
I don't know, man. I think
they did the Vengeful Pharaoh. What about Vengeful Pharaoh? Hmm.
What about Vengeful Pharaoh? What the fuck does he have to do with anything?
Was it he was wearing the symbol on his neck that's somehow being emphasized now in this block?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it ties in somehow. But whatever. At the time, it was just like a random ass card in M14 or whatever.
That was like Magic 2012.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is he wearing the Amonkhet symbol? Is that weird?
Yeah, something like that.
So I guess that's for the next set. Yeah, he has the Bolas headdress on. No, I'm looking at it. I don't know. I don't know, man. I'm just saying, like, it's just so blatant. It's not even creative. It's just like, blatant. That's what I'm saying. That's what kind of rubs me the wrong way about it is, like, fuck. Like, Bolas has dick to do. I don't know. Although the Aether Revolt symbol does kind of look like Bolas' horns with like a fire in the middle. I don't know. Maybe they're going to tie it all together. Maybe.
They are. And like,
I don't read this shit. So.
The Masterpiece Extra Planar Lens shows Bolas clearly also. Like you see like the horn or whatever in Bolas' domain. So they're definitely hinting at shit we all already know. So. It's a cute little wink or whatever, and someone's like, hey, what if we did this? And if they do that all the time in the future, it'll probably just be like, whatever. But I don't know. I don't think people want to see cute little flourishes if you can't nail down making standard not fucking miserable. So most people are going to be like, are just going to still be upset. But like I said, man, if you fucking like Vorthos and you don't care about what standard looks like, this has probably been a great couple of years for you.
Maybe.
I don't know. Okay, so I went to mtgstory.com, and one, the site is not updated, which I think is great. It's only showing that three of the story spotlight cards have been spoiled. maybe it's that part of the story hasn't been written, so they haven't flipped it over, but like... No, wait. Yeah, this is fucking hilarious, dude. This is a joke.
Oh, I don't know, man. Story-wise, I can't get into anything. I don't like anything. Last weekend, I watched Carrie Fisher's Wishful Drinking. She had that sort of monologue thing a few years ago. That's what I watched last weekend.
That's sad. Why do that to yourself?
It was interesting. I don't know. I wasn't that sad.
Yeah, I don't think you should ever be sad. I've never been really sad because it's nobody I knew, but like sometimes I'm sort of bummed out when like I expected more good shit out of them and now it's sort of like, yeah, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, if anyone, like I would just trade away like anyone else dying, actors in the original Star Wars. they're more expendable to me. But
yeah, it's all it's all about the sequels and prequels now.
The weekend before, I listened to Elton John's Rocket Man like 12 times in a row, crying. My trip.
You got problems, man. You got real life problems.
I'm just kidding, Mark and Harrison. Like, I didn't really want you to die instead of.
They're not. Harrison Ford doesn't listen to this podcast anymore.
Who knows? Who knows, man?
I called him a nerd and he's like, fuck you, get off my airplane. Yeah, he's dead in Star Wars. He can fucking die in real life if he wants.
He could have died in a fucking plane crash of his own devising. That would have been fine. I mean, sorry, Harrison, but, you know.
Yeah, you live by the plane, you die by the plane sometimes.
Like, you gotta ask. You're asking for it, right? You know? Yeah, you're just asking for it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're thumbing your nose at God by
flying.
Taking flight, for sure, yeah.
Did you see that thing in Los Angeles where this tree just fell on this wedding party, like, during a wedding shoot? Fucking crazy. This, like, 100-foot tree.
Did it get anybody?
Yeah. It got the mother of the bride, killed her.
Nice.
How does that happen? Like, I've never seen it. I mean,
You know what's crazy about that scenario? Like, people probably had time to move, but you look up and there's a fucking tree. And,
yeah.
Like, just freeze.
Like, this is a huge tree. I guess it was dry. That was the, you know, it was a big eucalyptus tree and the roots were dry, but there has to be some video of that, right?
Trees fall all the time, man. If a tree falls in the forest and it doesn't crush anybody, it doesn't, like, make the news. Dude, you know how many people get killed by fucking coconuts every year?
Yeah.
Shit falls off trees all the time. I'm not surprised that somebody got fucking flattened by
In New York, I purposely walk in the middle of the sidewalk, so if anything falls off the building, I won't get hit, but if, you know, a car comes at me, I'm, like, just, like, in the middle, you know? Because that would be one of the stupidest ways to die, is just, like, you know, part of a building, a brick falls off and kills you, and it's like, if I just, like, turn the corner at this street, I've been fine.
Yeah, I don't know. Anytime someone makes a little mistake and die, that's a real fucking bummer to me. Something like, I was just watching this video online of this dude who was riding a motorcycle, and there was a truck in the other lane, and the guy kind of awkwardly stops, and instead of, like, stopping, he skidded a little bit, and he just tapped the bumper of the car in front of him at, like, 2 miles an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Just tipped over. And then a truck just ran over his fucking head before he had a chance to react at all. It was the craziest shit ever. I'm like, he slowed down incorrectly for the conditions, and he fucking dies because of whatever confluence of circumstances. I think that's just insane that people can colossally fuck up, you know, and sometimes be fine, but you make a tiny little error sometimes and just circumstances are right and you just fucking die. That's crazy to me. I think about mortality a lot more because I think about how SIDS really fucked me up, you know, just that the whole concept of that, because no one's got a real good answer for why that happens. So they're sort of like, yeah, don't do these things, but also we don't really know, so your kid could fucking die even if you do everything we say. And that fucked me up for whatever reason, because I don't know. Because I was just sort of like, yeah, I'm just not going to do stupid shit and I probably won't die. Like, yeah, you could get killed in a car crash or whatever, but I'm minimizing my risks by not doing colossally dumb shit. And having it be like, oh, well, your kid could just, I don't know, sometimes they die. That really just fucked me up. So I used to always go in her room at night and make sure she was breathing. I don't know if all parents are like that, but for like the first couple months I used to freak out all the time. I don't know if because I talked to my dad about it and he said he sort of worried a little bit when I was a kid too, so maybe it's just new parents. You're like, oh my god, it would be so easy for this kid to just fucking die. So I don't know. That's a weird rant, but I don't know. I got reacquainted with mortality, I think. But you also, you can't fucking not let them do shit, you know. My parents used to I see why they were nervous. Like, we would ride our bikes places, like, really far from the house and, like, traffic and shit, and we would, like, walk to school and all kind of shit, and it really would freak them out, and I was like, what's the big deal? We know what we're doing, but yeah, shit happens.
Plus, it was really dangerous, and people were, like, drunk driving, and the cops were, like, more corrupt and, like, letting people drunk drive, and, well, I guess you're a little younger than me, but, yeah.
Yeah, and, back then. Yeah, kids get fucking kidnapped, too. Like, it probably won't happen to your kid, but, like, it could. Like, people get fucking legit kidnapped. That's crazy. By people who don't even know you. But what do I do? Do I not let her do anything? Because that's fucked. So I get to stay home and worry.
You just drink, man.
Drink. I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least, like, the one thing is, like, if I ever, like, die in a plane crash, at least, like, when I'm going down, I'll think to myself, well, at least, like, you didn't die for some embarrassing thing that you did to yourself. Not that that other accident you mentioned, Jason, like, was embarrassing.
Like, 10, like to, 10 to 15 years of cocaine abuse?
Yes. Well, not that, but that wasn't what I was referring to, but, yeah, something like that. Something.
I think that was I think that was one of the smartest tweets of 2016, Jason.
Was that mine?
Everybody wants to blame 2016, like, a year did something. It wasn't, like, 15 years of cocaine abuse, like.
Oh, man, I lost so many Twitter followers.
Well, you know...
I had so many people
A lot of people don't want to admit that Carrie Fisher was a huge drug addict, even though she admits she was a huge drug addict. But literally, like, all the celebrity deaths probably had something to do with prolonged drug abuse. Like, you know.
She outlived Belushi by, like, 35 years.
Yeah. So,
there's that. But imagine,
isn't,
oh my
Artie
god.
Is Artie Lang, like, still alive, though?
Okay, let's talk about, like, the concept of having a heart attack on a plane. Because, like,
that's
at first
shitty.
They... Yeah, because, like, when she started recovering, or they were like, oh, it happened, like, 15 minutes before they landed. And I was like, really? That's, like, that's as convenient as it could be, almost. Like, you're on a 6-hour, it's, like, 9 from more. So yeah, that could almost, like, set you off in a panic attack too, you know.
Well, I think the last of your worries is, you know, having a panic attack when you're literally having a fucking heart attack. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, all panic attacks are, like, you know, you think you're having a heart attack, but if you're on a plane, it could intensify things.
Oh, dude, I fucking thought I was gonna die. I took some really strong edibles, and I could, like, feel my heartbeat. And I was like, there's no way this is a normal heartbeat. My heart must be beating super hard if I can feel it and I'm super aware of it. So I just, like, I thought, fuck, am I going to be the one guy who dies from, like, edibles? And then I'm like, everybody that thinks that is on edibles thinks they're going to die. It's a cliche. But I was just so paranoid. I'm like, yeah, it's a cliche because everybody's heart beats super fast when they're on edibles, and that's why they all think they're going to die, because they fucking almost do, and somebody's got to be the first one to die, so, yeah.
I don't know if that's true, but...
Probably not, but I was feeling real paranoid.
One of my favorite stories, it's a tragic story, but this woman years ago in Staten Island, like, died from a panic attack. She was trapped in an elevator, and she had a panic attack, and it actually did turn into a heart attack, like, no drugs, no anything. So she was, like, trapped in an elevator and just, like, worked herself into, like, dying.
That's crazy. Well, how do they know that's what happened?
I think she had her cell phone, and so she was, like, calling people.
Oh, shit. Man, wouldn't you feel bad if you were one of the people that she called and you couldn't talk her down?
Yeah, I don't know. But she did have a heart condition. So, but to me, that was, like, it's a tragic thing, but it was fascinating in terms of, like, my, stock market metaphors, you know, like, sometimes, yeah, like, how you represent things, like, you know, there's, like, the Soros, theory of reflexivity, where eventually perception becomes reality. And that, to me, like, that's, like, the biggest example of that ever.
Well, so I know Mr. Alt has got to leave us soon. And I just wanted to touch on the fact that that Heavy Meta has decided to land the plane. And we kind of briefly talked about it, but you know, I wanted to say just to those guys, and I said it on Twitter, but just thank you for the time and for, I guess, facilitating the creation of the SVU. And I know Maddie would be the first one to say that they didn't create it. It just kind of came to be. But that cast certainly, it made me want to have a Magic podcast. And without that cast, I would not have met either of you guys.
Yep.
So
100% accurate.
100% accurate.
They're directly responsible for this podcast.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's definitely, that's 100% a fact. Like, I wouldn't have met either of you guys. I wouldn't have met Marcel. I wouldn't have met, you know, it's just, so thank you. And as sad as I am to see them go, I think that it was the right decision at the time, because when you're doing a weekly cast and you're not just doing whatever the fuck you want like we are, it, I'm sure it could get very tedious, and I think Maddie's professional stuff had really kind of prevented him from casting a lot for the last year, and, you know, it's, we'll keep carrying the torch, man, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of other shows to do so on a more regular basis, but, you know, they,
like, yeah, so. I mean, I don't know, we can't even carry the torch, like, we'll never sort of match what they had in terms of building the community just by virtue of being by definition more exclusive and so forth. But yeah, like, we wouldn't have met each other, or at least, like, we probably wouldn't have met Slick, and the cast wouldn't exist. This was originally the beer cast proposed by Robot Large, featuring Jason and Slick, or Slick, yeah, and Jason. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is
it was a special time, and like I said, I wouldn't be surprised, like, if they sort of reform Voltron, like, in a couple years. So, but it was just a really special time in the community, and I hope the community gets back to that point. And maybe, yeah, it just takes a new generation to cast, new people coming into the game, which I think, again, probably getting back to just the digital thing, like, you don't have that new influx coming in, which is why maybe everything seems a little heavier, but it was just a great cast. And like, the A-Team, when it started, I was, like, going through MTG cast and, you know, Managed Prive, all, you know, sites I could find, and some casts, it was like, I don't, you know, these guys might be technically good or maybe not, but I don't really like them. But it was like one of those casts where, like, these are my people. And again, so, like, beyond that, what they've done in terms of just not being, you know, selfish in the community, it's really, really a lot to say for that. And, you know, they may not ever get officially recognized for it, but who gives a shit?
Well, the irony of it was that they made the mothership on their farewell.
Yeah. Or so they think.
But yeah, so I mean, yeah, to Maddie still to this day just completely childlike infatuation with Magic, combined at the start with Kevy's just fucking just purely
interest
80s rocker personality mixed with just, like, another totally, like, the thing that made him so special at the start was that they were open to the people that, with Magic being the Tumblr of video games and hands down easily the most PC game and community in all of gaming, I would be hard pressed for you to show me another one that's more hardline PC, which I think is good. They kind of opened it up to anybody and all, and if you were a little fucked up, you still hang, man. And I think they're at the time that they were doing what they did, combined with both of their just enthusiasm for the game and love of getting completely crazy, more so on Kevy's part than Maddie's, but it was
as I came to find out.
I thought they set out to answer the question, what if Magic the Gathering had juggalos? And, they answered that. You'd have the heavy meta SVU. Yep. We're gonna miss that particular cast. I haven't been a guest on there in a while, but the few times I was on there, I always had a blast. They're great guys. I'm sure we're gonna see them in Vegas. So yeah, just another titan of early podcasting dropping off. You know, with first with the A Team, now heavy meta. It's kind of sad. I don't know, man. Brainstorm Brewery's turned into one of those casts that's kind of been on forever, and you know, everybody's kind of wondering when we're gonna stop, or thinks we stopped already, like a lot of people do.
It's just hard for any show, honestly, to like,
yeah,
for like more than 5 years. That's a long time for a show.
Yeah, to still have the drive to do that week to week. So I'm finding creative outlets and other projects. So I don't have all this pressure on Brainstorm Brewery to be my everything. That's good. I got this podcast as a creative outlet also, which kind of let me feel like I could be more of a piece of shit on here, so I could be a little bit more professional on BSB. I'm not saying I'm professional. I'm just saying I'm more professional. So I guess what I'm saying is, I don't know. I feel like Heavy Meta is one of those casts that sort of opened up a new way for the community to interact, if that makes sense. Like, the way the SVU interacts with other SVU members, I don't think any other segment of the Magic community is really interfacing that way. It's a weird way to explain it, but basically they just sort of... I guess created a new community almost within the Magic community. Like, all these people that are the same kind of, you know, person sort of found a way to meet each other. It's, I don't know, I'm not good at articulating it.
Yeah, there's a lot of diversity.
It just feels like they created a niche almost, and were the best at filling it. So we're going to miss them for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, I know you probably got to go chit chat with Wesco. I think Mr.
Yeah.
Time Elemental and I will land the plane here.
Yeah, you guys have fun. I'm gonna biz ounce. It was nice money drafting with you guys. I'm off to say the fuck word a lot less on a different podcast. So
good luck with your
see you guys
review.
Later.
Peace. So yeah, I think you know. I guess the only other thing would be the cube, which, you know, we've been recording for a while. I don't want to really go too deep on it. I certainly did not have anywhere near as much luck with the vintage cube this time around, at all, actually. I it was rough for me this go around, man. I don't know about your personal experiences, but dude, I was
Reanimator
like,
come up less? It seemed like Reanimator wasn't, I didn't see it as much, which, like, I saw, and then I ended up going to Red a lot, which is usually what you do in, like, Legacy Cube, but, like, that's where I had my most success. Like, I would have, like, random, I would draft what I thought were good decks. Like, I had one with, like, both Sneak and Through the Breach, and that I was like 1 and 2, and then I would like 2 and 1 with like random decks. But yeah, it seemed like Reanimator, but objectively, they didn't really take out any cards.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it was just like the different people, or I don't know. I mean, or maybe like the big streamers were streaming certain different decks, so that's what people tried to mimic. But Yeah, I mean, usually I would say, like, my in vintage cube, like, our, you know, or I won't say my, because you always get all butthurt, but I would say the Sad Boys Brain Trust cube rate is usually around, like, you know, we usually 3-0 probably, like, 60% of the cubes or more. And it was rough this time around, man. Woof. I think we were probably around, like, the... I don't know. It was just, it was not nearly as what I feel like whenever vintage cube comes around, we just fucking dominate. And I would be, you know, I would need to talk to, I'd probably need to talk to Chase, to see how he felt about it personally. But yeah, I mean, it was not as pleasant this time around for me.
And Storm also, you're like,
Storm was so what... fine. It was just, it was not, I think Storm was fine. It was just, it didn't seem to come together as frequently. So,
yeah. I mean, who knows? So, like, it's a small sample. You guys could have just sucked in those matches or whatever. But I saw some Johnny Magic, and it was good. He did a lot.
Well, that,
this year.
He can draft a Storm deck out of anything. I mean, that guy's a fucking animal.
But, I mean, he put a lot on Twitch this year. I think probably more than every other year combined so far. He got into it too near the end. He got more loose as it went on. It was fucking awesome. But there was one draft where he passed. He didn't have any win conditions. He passed a thing in the ice. He doesn't like anything on board. He doesn't like to depend on anything on board. He hates. Well, doesn't hate the Magus Yogwill, but doesn't really like it. So he passed thing in the ice, and it was like third pack, middle of the, still didn't really have a win condition, and open brain freeze. But the whole time I was like, and it had been a couple packs since he passed the thing in the ice, and I don't remember what it's for, but it was just like something. I should remember what it was, but I was just like, he was just like so biased against the onboard thing, and then, but he was right. He opened brain freeze, but there's like so much stuff you learn, like in terms of even if like now I think I could draft a Storm deck, playing a Storm deck maybe slightly the good deal less competent, but even in terms of drafting a Storm deck, like you're still at the end of his streaming, like. You know, learning his pick order and stuff. So,
yeah,
that was cool. Like he went, is it? I mean, it's hard to even in terms of, without the context, but it was pretty early, and he took it. Is it charm over Thought Thieves? So it's like, all right, well, no one ever has a counter spell, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would still. I mean, it depends on how black he was in that. You know, he's done a lot of funky.
Black. It was plenty black. It was red was the minor color, but and I guess you can counterspell with Izzicharm, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't
know. So I was learning. Like I think he likes Signets over Frenzied Search, Frantic Search, unless he already has like Hella Signets. I think he likes that over Frantic Search.
Yeah, I don't know.
Stuff like that, where it's like, interesting. Yeah, wouldn't have thought that.
Well, if you talk to him on the after hours thing, you'll have to ask him.
Yeah, I'm not going to be on that, but I'm going to send a couple of questions in. Unless you had a specific Storm related question, I'll send that in. But yeah, that was good to do with Marcel. It helps money draft too, because there might be something on the docket, on the side docket that I want to talk about, but these guys never want to talk about, so I get it out there. So, and again, I wouldn't be surprised if Heavy Meta comes back in 2 years and it's just like this big ensemble cast, and I don't know. I'm just making stuff up in my own head.
Yeah,
but,
I would be surprised. I think after Kevy's second kid, it's a wrap. It's a wrap for a long while.
Yeah, a long while.
So we'll see. But it is what it is, and that's how it should be.
My new shower's finished. I need to order my new robe. It's going to be so good. It's going to... Like, I want to get the softest road possible. And what I did, I went to Bloomingdale's a couple weeks ago, and I figured I'll just go there, I'll feel all the robes, and then I'll find the best one and just buy like the same thing or a better version online. And their robes were like shitty. Like all, like Bloomingdale's is a huge store, and I went to like five different departments seeking out all their men's robes, and none of them were like that impressive in terms of how soft they were or how I felt, you know. So I don't know, it's weird, but that's what I need, because I have my whole, it feels like a spa in there now. I had my whole bathroom redone, the walk-in shower, all the different, you know, stones picked out. So I need a good robe.
Oh, man.
This is what you think about when you're, like, 40. You get real excited about the brand of toilet you have. And because you don't think about that for 30 years. It's, like, all fine. But then, like, after 30, 35, 40 years, it's like, well, I don't like having a shower curtain.
That makes sense, man. That makes sense. We should probably land this plane. I think we can tease the listeners with maybe a bit of a discussion on your storm cube for the next cast. But I think for now,
yeah, you should draft it, man. It's fun.
I will. I'll give it a try. Yeah. I think there's gonna be I think three of the sad boys have a birthday within like the next 7 days. So this weekend is gonna be full of partying in Philadelphia.
Busy time. So you're pre-apologizing for not editing the cast for like
No. I'm gonna try to edit. Anyway, alright, we're fucking done. I'm gonna edit this motherfucking cast.
Alright.
If JR doesn't delay the show notes, it'll be out before January 15th. And with that, fuck you guys. Uh-huh. We're out.
It's me. Uh-huh. I was hatched in 83. Fucking standing like the Notre Dame logo right now. Just leave this shit, man. If I choose the right horse, I'ma buy a white Porsche. Never take the night off. They're saying that my mind's off. Ever since I came out, I've been handed pain out. Fold a wire hanger through your nose. Take your brain out. Hey now. On the stage, I'm like great balls of fire. One more year, I'll be on Lake George retired. Big steak like a Jeep tire. Season up some biceps and throw them in the deep fryer. I've been high since I was this big. Yeah. I've been high since I was this big. Stupid. I'm sick like feet of squirrels in the summer in a bubble jacket. If this was 9-6, our death had the tunnel packed in. Big beard like I'm lumberjacking. Mash the pedal of that A50. Sound like the thunder cracking. I'm in a club with a condom on. All Under Armour on. And when I die, make sure you spread my blood on a BMW. And when I die, make sure you spread my blood on a BMW. Microphone attached to my head so I can dance my little heart out. Don't make me bring the white guitar out like the one in Wayne's World that was shining in a window. Since 13, I've been a nympho. Fuck That's Delicious on box set. Me and my man smoking on big drugs and feasting on an ox leg. Stand in a store with 20 Ahmeds, bazookas on shoulders. 100 pounds of C4 in a stroller. C4's roll up, shit's cold, I think I need a Ricola. I just dropped a million krona, I'm a stoner. You lack culture, I'm a psychedelic image of a black vulture trapped inside a past soldier. I just blew my motherfucking high, man.
But like it just came off as like right. Really like unprovoked aggression towards like a really nice guy, and I was like, "Fuck, dude."
I get that, but whatever. If
money draft,
you didn't slow roll it. I asked somebody to say it 10 minutes beforehand, and you just drove it in a totally different direction.
Because, well, okay. So sometimes I just need to say something, otherwise I'm going to forget it. So that's what happens. I'm like
money draft.
Saying that your list of cards is going to be short is. It's like telling a girl you just want to put the tip in.
Yeah, it's like
it's a lie.
It's just a lie. It's just a fucking fallacy.
It's true.